first. Let's look at John 15, I guess. For time's sake, we're going to start reading in, that's not right. Hang on a second. It's John 14. Sorry, Beth. I wrote that down wrong. But John 14, starting in verse 5. Now, the scriptures before this, Jesus was talking about he's about to leave the disciples. He's going away to prepare a place for him, and if he does, he'll come back, you know, receive them. Verse 5, Thomas saith unto him, Lord, we know not whither thou goest, and how can we know the way? Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me. Now listen, this is very important, because the day and age that we live in, we must, as God's people, know truth and know the spirit of truth. You'll hear this out there, well, my truth is this, or my truth is this, you know, the truth is this. No, we see here in the Word, Jesus is the truth. He is the only way. The Bible says no man comes to the Father lest he's drawn, and how many knows the Bible says he also is the door. There's no other way to the Father except for the Son. Now, you got those out there that there's many ways to God, they say. Nope, there may be many roads that lead you to God, but Jesus is the only door. He goes on here and he says, verse 7, if you had known me, you should have known my Father also. So if you're born again and you know him, you know the Father also, right? He says, and from henceforth you know him and have seen him. Philip saith unto him, Lord, show us the Father, and it sufficeth us. Jesus saith unto him, have I been so long time with you, and yet hast thou not known me, Philip? He that has seen me has seen the Father. And how sayest thou then, show us the Father? Believest thou not that I am in the Father, and the Father is in me? The words that I speak unto you, I speak not of myself, but the Father that dwelleth in me, he doeth the works. Believe me that I am in the Father, and the Father in me, or else believe me for the very work's sake. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I shall do, he shall do also, and greater works than these shall he do, because I go unto the Father, unto my Father. And whatsoever you shall ask in my name, that will I do, and the Father, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. He goes on down, verse 15, he says, if you love me, keep my commandments. Now, you got a lot of people out here, they have made what an idol in their own mind of who and what God is. You always say nothing. He says here, you got people, they say they love God, but when you read the scriptures, they don't do one thing that he says to do. So you're not going to confuse me or convince me that you love God and you ain't doing nothing that he says to do. Why? Because he said, this is red letters, if you love me, what? Keep my commandments. Now, does that mean you're going to be perfect 24/7 in the flesh all the time? Not necessarily. But you can see fruit where people are going after God, right, that really love him. He goes on and he says, and I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever. Even the spirit of what? So the Holy Spirit, or the comforter, he is the spirit of truth. Jesus, we just read it, Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Here we read it where the Holy Spirit, he is the spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him, but you know him, for he dwells with you and shall be in you. Now the day that you got born again, he came in you and he dwells in you, right? I'm not talking about the baptism of the Holy Ghost. That's a totally different thing. He says here, I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you yet a little while, and the world seeth me no more, but you see me, because I live, you shall live also. And at that day you shall know that I am in my Father, and ye in me, and I in you. He that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me. And he that loveth me shall be loved of my Father, and I will love him and will manifest myself to him. Skip on down to, just for time's sake, because I got a lot of reading today, I think. 24, he says, he that loveth me not keepeth not my sayings, and the word which you hear is not mine, he says, but the Father's which sent me. These things I have spoken unto you, being yet present with you. But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you. So sickness and disease doesn't teach you, right? The Holy Ghost is the teacher, and he uses the Word of God to teach us. It says, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance whatsoever I have said unto you. Now look at John 17. Just going to read one verse here for time's sake. Verse 17. He says, sanctify them, talking about the disciples, who he's talking about, and us later, sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. So just in the verses we've read this morning, we see here, Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. He says, the Holy Ghost, which is the Comforter, he is the Spirit of truth, right? Then he says here, the word is truth. You can go over there in 1st or 2nd John 1, and it talks about there's three that bear witness in heaven, three that bear witness in the earth, and all of that, but we don't have time for that. Let's look at Matthew 24. These is probably very familiar scriptures for everybody, or most of us that are here. Why do I keep emphasizing this about truth? Because the days that we're in, and the Bible even talks about, I mean, we've read a lot of scripture up to this point, talking about this subject. I mean, we read the scriptures in 1 Timothy, 2 Timothy, how people would be, how the times would be, you know, in the last days, perilous times. You look that word perilous up, it means hard, stressful, hard to deal with, hard to deal with times, hard to deal with people, all these things. But the greatest one that I believe the Lord wants to emphasize this morning is truth. Because even the Apostle Paul, one of the reasons why he thought in that time, and that he was, I mean, John, that he was writing the things that he was in 1st and 2nd and 3rd John, he said, because of the false Christ, he says, we know it is the last time. Well, if he thought it was the last time then, what do you think it is now? I'm not saying this is like this war that's going. Have y'all seen how the other players that Kim said's coming in? Y'all seen any of that? Yeah. Turkey, they're in an uproar now. Russia says they're coming in to be with Palestine since we're with Israel. China says they're coming in as a mediator. And I'm like, God, I see exactly what you said. Now, is this the battle of Ezekiel 38 and 39? I don't know. The same players are there, but I don't know. And this, oh gosh, that's getting ahead of myself. Well, let me just go ahead and say this since I'm on that topic or whatever. Hold your place there. I was listening to some more of the prophecies the other day. Now, the one that I brought, y'all saw the timeline, right, where the children had been beheaded in the war that's breaking out and all of that. Well, I listened to one the other day, and I don't have a clue when this is going to happen. I'm just going to tell you so you know when it happens what happened. Go over to Acts chapter 12. Now, I heard a prophecy that was given that God is going to slay Putin. What does that mean? I don't know. Does that mean he's going to be killed with a sword? I don't know. Does that mean he's going to drown? I don't know. Does it mean he's going to get a sickness? I don't know how it's going to happen. All I know is it's going to happen. And God said in the prophecy, the reason why it's going to happen is because, I don't know if he says it out publicly in a statement or in a conference or if he just says it in his heart, but Putin is going to say that he is God. And when he does, God said he's going to slay him. Now, what I'm telling you, people that have an idol of God in their mind and in their thinking, they're like, that's not God. That could not be God. But I want you to read here in Acts chapter 12. Now, notice where we're at. Can you get any more New Testament than Acts? No. We're not in Mark, Luke, or John. That was before Jesus was crucified, buried, and resurrected, right? This is the book of Acts. After all that's done happened, he's ascended and then started the church. So here in Acts chapter 12, look. For time's sake, we're going to start reading in verse 18. Now, as soon as it was day, there was no small stir among the soldiers what was become of Peter. He had been let out of prison, we know, by the angel of the Lord. And when Herod had sought for him and found him not, he examined the keepers and commanded that they should be put to death. And he went down from Judea to Caesarea and there abode. It says, and Herod was highly displeased with them of Tyre and Sidon, but they came with one accord to him, and having made Blastus, the king's chamberlain, their friend, desired peace, because their country was nourished by the king's country. And upon a set day, Herod, arrayed in royal apparel, sat upon his throne, and made an oration unto them. And the people gave a shout, saying, it is the voice of a god, and not of a man. And immediately the angel of the Lord smote him. Sounds like God slayed him, don't it? And the angel of the Lord smote him because he gave not God the glory. And he was eaten of worms and gave up the ghost. But the word of God grew and multiplied. Now the Amplified in verse 23, I think it is. It says, and at once an angel of the Lord smote him and cut him down, because he did not give God the glory, the preeminence and kingly majesty that belonged to him as the supreme ruler, and he was eaten by worms and died. Now, notice where we are. This is New Testament. Now, the title of our messages has been, I don't know, the last four or five, is The God That Never Changes. But see, people, when they hear things like this, because that's not what they want and that's not what their God does, they don't believe it. But you cannot get any more New Testament than this, right? So what do we have? We have to have truth. The Bible says, there's been a lot of, and I understand it, and I agree with it to a certain degree. There has been a lot of this, they even have songs, Jesus is my friend, you know, and my brother, and the Bible says that he is. The Bible says he is our brother, right? He's our elder brother. We've all been born of the same spirit. But don't forget, he's Lord. He is my brother. He is my very best friend, right? But he's also my Lord. God is not just God. He's creator of all things. He makes things rise up and he brings things down. And whenever my life crosses, God is very merciful. None of this stuff happens to people just bam. It's kind of like God's mercy and God's mercy and God's mercy. But there comes a time where that is the end of that. Just like what happened here, and what I'm telling you, what God said is going to happen with Putin, because he did this very same thing right here, except in his own heart he says, I am God. How many knows? There is no God but God. And his name is not Allah or any of the rest of it. His name is Jehovah, right? Now, so the only thing that's going to keep us in the last days, or I wouldn't say the only thing, will be knowing the truth. We have the spirit of truth on the inside of us. He said his word is truth. But do you know there's people out there, they don't even read their Bible. And if they do, it's usually just when they go to church. How many knows that's not good for us? Y'all didn't say nothing. That's not good for us. See, oh my goodness, I had this thought earlier. I don't know why I had this thought. But anyway, if you've been here for any length of time at all, or you listen to our messages by way of internet or Facebook or whatever, you can tell we're kind of a militant church, if y'all have not noticed. Y'all ever noticed that? There's some people, they can't handle that. They can't deal with that. They're not called to that. Most of the time, when you have a pastor and that's all they are, that pastor anointing on them, they treat you kind of like the way you treat little kids. Oh, you poor baby. They say things to you. They want you over at their house all the time, you know, and just tell you how. And there's nothing wrong with that. God calls some of those. But now your pastor does not have just a pastor's anointing. He has an apostolic pastorship anointing. And when you go back and you look, this the Apostle Paul is the one that wrote about in Ephesians, what? The armor of God. Put it on, right? It's the Apostle Paul that wrote over there to Timothy that he told him, he says, endure hardness is what? A candy flake. A good soldier. So God has every church in their own positions, and every church fulfills a purpose that God's called them to. We're not called to sugarcoat things to y'all. There's some people, I remember this one girl, she's come here for a little while. I had led her to the Lord here. She come here for a little while, and I remember I was telling a story one time about, I think it was when you hit me in the back of the head with that basket of squash. This is BC. This is before we got saved, you know, and all of this. And I had told that story, you know, and she's sitting over there on that side. And I mean, the look on her face, and she said, oh my goodness, you know. In this couple of weeks, you know, she was gone. Why? Because there's people, they can't take that. That's not part of what they're called to do. You understand what I'm telling you? So see, it makes a difference when you are in the place that you are supposed to be, because you will be trained for what God has called you to be and called you to do. So if you're not in the right place wherever you are, you need to seek God and get in your right place. Because see, if you got a plumbing church, a church that does the plumbing, so to speak. I'm talking spiritually. You do not want to be over there at the roofing church if you're called to be at the plumbing church. Why? Because one thing you're going to do is cause a problem. Why? Because the roof don't fit in the plumbing, and the plumbing don't fit on the roof. Everything has its place. Now, I don't know what that's about, but anyway, I'm sure it's probably for those listening by internet. Don't you guess? Y'all not saying nothing. All right, what'd I tell y'all? Matthew 24, thank you. Oh, I don't think I've told y'all lately, have I? My brother's home, sleeping in his own bed in my mama's house. I looked at it this morning, and I believe it's either this week or it's next week that it'll be exactly 6 months. And I don't know about y'all, something has changed for me. It was Rondé was here Sunday, it changed Monday. Now, every time that we base that on John 15:7, y'all remember, I'm sure. But anyway, every time, that's what I felt compelled to say, is thank you, Lord, my brother's home, sleeping in his own bed in my mama's house. You know, and to me, he's been here all this time. I can say that, I laugh, I rejoice, because to me it's done. But something has changed. Now, I see my brother, he's laying in, his bedroom is in mama's garage, and he's laying in the bed, and he's turned that way, and I see half of his fat back shining. What's that mean? Oh, he's almost here. Why? I knew it the whole time, and every time I would say it, it would rejoice me on the inside. But now when I say, thank you, Lord, my brother's home, sleeping in his own bed, and my mama, I see him. Like I said, I see his fat back laying there, halfway uncovered. I see him in that bed asleep. What's that mean? He's almost here in the natural. Well, how do I know that? Because now I can see it. I knew it on the inside before, but I did not see him. Now I know it on the inside, and I see him almost as if my physical eyes are looking at him. Why am I going through all that? Because I wasn't the only one that the Lord spoke to nearly 6 months ago, right? Now, if you have not held on, if you've given it up or whatever, because I haven't heard any of you tell me that what you was believing has come to pass yet in the natural, hang on. And if you've let it go, pick it back up again. Y'all not saying nothing. Pick it back up again. Why? Because either something happened to your faith or you quit letting your patience work. Now see, for me, this whole time I have been at total peace and rest. Now I've had a few times that, especially when I first started, I don't know, maybe a month or two after, that the devil tries to play head games with your mind. I remember I was praying one day and all of a sudden I had these thoughts come, you know, you've lost it. You've lost the seed. You know, this happened or that happened, and it's not there anymore and everything. And I thought, oh, my goodness. And I thought, check on the inside. So I closed my eyes, and I looked down in here. Why? Because this is my spirit, not up here. My spirit's down in here. And when I looked down in here, because I got my head telling me one thing. How many knows the enemy can come to your thoughts, but he cannot come to your spirit? So I closed my eyes and I looked on the inside, and when I looked on the inside, I began to laugh, and I said, oh, devil, I caught you now. That word's in there like cement, and it ain't going nowhere. But if he can get you to believe that it's gone, y'all not saying nothing. We don't need to go back and do this whole parable, do we? See, this is the kingdom. This has everything to do with every single day of our lives. Just like right now, the things that we're going through, the things that are coming, they're not good. But now God always took care of those that trusted him, right? Those that believed in him. And if he says go to Egypt, you go to Egypt. If he says stay over here wherever you're at, you stay wherever you're at, right? Y'all remember Isaac? His daddy went down to Egypt. Well, God told Isaac, he said, don't go down to Egypt like your father did. He said, stay here, plant right here. And the Bible says he obeyed the word of the Lord, and he reaped 100-fold that year in a time of drought and famine. So whatever he tells us to do, that's what we do, and we are safe. But there's going to be some hard times that are coming. Just like over there, and I think it's, don't quote me on this, you'll have to find it later or something. But I believe it's like in Revelation 13, about verse 12, 14, verse 12, somewhere around in there or whatever. It talks about how that power was given to our enemy to make war with us and to overcome us. And the Bible says this calls for the patience of the saints. See, I don't know why y'all thought, or even myself beginning, we needed patience so much. Do y'all get where I'm going with this? Because, see, it's not just you need patience. Your patience is being developed now. That whole parable, it's got patience down in there. It's got patience in 3/4 of the way and then all the rest of the way. Why? Because in the last days, there's going to be such hard times that comes. We need our faith and our patience working together. Just like this, there's been times that, oh, we was believing God for finances or something. This is going nothing like I got wrote down, but that's okay. I just work here. Whatever he says, that's what I say. We was believing God for finances, you know, didn't have no money, cutting our lights off every other month and all this kind of stuff, you know, and we thought we was believing God. And then a little time went by, and before you know it, our patience starts waning. And when your patience starts waning, if you ain't careful, there will go the end of your faith. It wasn't you didn't have faith, but you had to have patience to keep that faith out there as long as you need it to, until it brings that harvest in of what God has promised or you've asked for or whatever. Well, we thought we was doing some of that in our patience. The Bible says if you faint in the day of adversity, your strength is small. What's that mean? Get more strength. Get stronger. You can, right? In the natural, if you want to be stronger, start lifting you some barbells every day. You'll get stronger. Might take you a little while, but you will get stronger. Same thing spiritually. Well, lo and behold, you know, something would happen when we would let that word go. We wouldn't exercise our patience as long enough to receive the promise of God. So then we would run to the bank and we would borrow the money to pay this month's bills. Y'all not saying nothing. I know I'm the only one ever been there. That's okay. That's okay. See, I know how I got where I am. And I'm trying to tell y'all how to get where you're supposed to be going. But see, if you don't let that pay, you can have all the faith you want. Great faith, the Bible talks about. But sometimes if you don't have that patience to hold that faith out there, because every promise of God does not happen overnight. Every promise of God doesn't always come within a month or two. Sometimes it's years. I mean, God will speak a thing through a prophet in the Old Testament, and it's thousands of years before it ever comes to pass. The Bible says He is the God of all patience. And if you've been born again, you have the same God kind of patience on the inside of you, but you got to let it work. You got to exercise it. You got to let it develop. You got to let it grow. A baby may be born with all of its parts, but what's it got to do? Nourished up with the Word. That's why we should read our Bible more than when we go and preach or go to church. Thank you for the, See, you got Christians, they say they love the Lord and they do not see the importance of this. And I dare say it'll have to be the grace of God that they make it. See, sometimes people ask God for things. If you comply with the requirements of what He says, then it comes. But you got a lot of people today, they're asking a lot of stuff. They're not in faith, they're in doubt. Now listen, when you're in faith, doubt, thoughts of doubt can come to your mind, but they find no place in your heart. Y'all hear what I'm telling you? I've had it both ways. Just like with my brother, thoughts come to my mind, but when I look in here, this is cement, baby. It cannot be taken out. But then there's been other things over my life that I was in faith or whatever, and before you know it, here comes a little doubt, you know. And tomorrow comes a little more doubt, or a little more doubt the next day, until before you know it, in here, I'm doubtful. If you get doubtful in here, now you've got a problem, because now you've got doubtful weeds that is growing up that's going to choke out your promise. But the Bible talks about in the last days how that this calls for the patience of the saints. See, there's a mark coming, people. I don't care if you pre-trib, mid-trib, whatever. It'll make me no difference. But you better be prepared if you got to go however long you got to go. You hear what I'm telling you? However long that is. Well, say you say you don't exercise your patience now. Do you really think if you don't exercise patience now, or if you can't get the promises of God now by faith and patience, the Bible says follow after those who inherit the promises, right? Do you really think you're going to get them whether or not you're going to take the mark? When you can't buy nothing. You can't sell nothing. You can't feed your babies. Y'all not saying nothing. Do y'all realize this is coming? I don't know if we'll be the ones that sees it or not. I believe we will. But whether we are or not, this stuff still has to be taught. So therefore, right now, we need to be growing our love. Because we're about to read some scriptures that because their love gets cold, they begin to fall into iniquity and lawlessness. And we don't want that happening to us, right? We want to serve God all the way through. We want to grow. We want to develop. And the Bible talks about in Jude, and we read that, how that we're supposed to be snatching them out of the fire, hating even the garment spotted by the flesh. Now that I see my brother, I know the time is any second now, which to me it's been any second already. But I want to encourage you this morning, if you will hang on, if you'll stay in faith, faith rest. It's like I have been along for the ride on all of this. I have not been upset. I have not been bothered. People, whether they believe what I say about it or not, does not move me. Why? Because I have been in faith and my patience is working. If you're sweating, either you're not in faith or you're not letting patience have its perfect work. And you need to get that settled. You need to get that dealt with. Right? Because see, a lot of people, they'll pray and ask God for something, but they don't meet the requirements. Y'all ain't saying nothing. How many knows God has requirements to every promise he's given? And it takes faith and patience to obtain every one of them. Just like this, if you're born again, you did not do it without meeting God's requirements of salvation. What was his requirements? Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Believe in your heart and confess with your mouth, and thou shalt be saved, right? Over there, what is it, Romans 10, 9 and 10? Yeah. Well, when we meet the requirements, when we ask, the Bible says if we ask anything, if we ask anything according to his will, then we know that he hears us. And if we know that he hears us, then we know we have the petitions that we've asked of him. Number one, you got to find his will. You got a lot of people out there, they're not seeking what is God's will. They're seeking what they want and trying to make God line up with what they want. How many knows? Number one, that don't work. Somebody else's husband is not the will of God for me. Why? Number one, I'm a married woman. Number two, they're a married man or woman, whatever the case may be. And nowadays, who can tell? But anyway, my point to that is, God is not going to be the will of God to give me somebody else's husband. Why? That goes totally against Scripture. Do you know there's people out there doing that? Absolutely. There was a lady one time that she told Gloria that she was going to die and Kenneth was going to become her husband. Kenneth Copeland was going to become her husband. And sad to say, you have got such non-discerning Christians that some of them believed that. She even believed it herself, convinced of it. How many knows that is not God? That is not the will of God. It is not the will of God that I die and my husband marry somebody else. All right, let's see if we can get this Matthew 24 read, maybe. Matthew 24 deals a lot about us needing to know truth. Let's see here. I've got this wrote down in the Amplified. So that's how I'll read it. If you don't have one, Beth will put it on the screen for us so you can follow along. Verse 1, it says, Jesus departed from the temple area and was going on his way when his disciples came up to him to call his attention to the buildings of the temple and point them out to him. But he answered them, do you see all these? Truly I tell you, there will not be left here one stone upon another that will not be thrown down. While he was seated on the Mount of Olives, the disciples came to him privately and said, tell us, when will this take place? And what will be the sign of your coming and of the end or the completion, the consummation of the age? That's their question. Don't get off on nothing else. That's their question, and that's the question he's going to answer. Verse 4, Jesus answered them, be careful no one misleads you. That was his first instruction. So that tells me, in order for that to be his first instruction, that's going to be very, very important right off the bat. He says, be careful that no one misleads you, deceiving you and leading you into error. For many will come in on the strength of my name, appropriating the name which belongs to me, saying, I am the Christ, the Messiah, and they will lead many astray. Why? Number one, they didn't know truth. That's why I went over all of those verses. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. The Holy Spirit, which is the Comforter, he is the Spirit of truth. He asked God, he said, sanctify him through thy word, for thy word is truth. Right? He goes on and he said, "And they will lead many astray. And you will hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that you are not frightened or troubled, for this must take place, but the end is not yet." Now, we've had wars, we've had rumors of wars, but I'm telling you, if you look and see what all is going on around, I just seen over in France where they are protesting, and it's just car after car after car set on fire burning in the streets. Because there is such an uproar. Their economy has come to nearly nothing. You've got Venezuela over there. Their economy has come to nearly nothing. They're coming over here, a lot of them. Then you've got Europe. There are protests. Have y'all seen the protesting in the White House? Yeah. For the Palestinians. Yeah. Protesting in the White House. And then you've got them in our Congress that are protesting us and Israel in Congress. So then when you read this, it's not like what it's been before. This is not, we're hearing of there's been wars and we're hearing of rumors of wars. No, this is an uprising all over the world. In every country that I have looked at just about, there is, people is mad. It's like everybody's on fire. Not everybody, but y'all know what I'm saying, right? It's like they're protesting this and they're protesting that and they're killing this one over here and they're mad about the Palestinians or the Israelis, so they're robbing the stores. I never could understand what that had to do with anything. Come on now. I'm robbing you because I want to rob you and I don't want to take justification for it, so I'm going to put it off on you. If I'm robbing a store, I'm robbing the store for me because I'm not going to jail for Scotty. Y'all not saying nothing. If I'm robbing a store, you better believe it's because I want to rob the store. But I never could understand that one. But they are doing that all over the world. So when you read this, you know this is not just the way that we've always heard it. Excuse me. He says, "And you will hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that you are not frightened." Time and time again, God has told us, fear not. Fear not. I know what you see and might be bad. I know what you hear and might be bad. He says, but fear not. Why? He's with us. He's in us. The Bible says, if he's for us, who can prevail against us? There's absolutely nobody. But now you go and you get in fear because of things that you're seeing and you're hearing. You become wide open for the devil because you begin to make wrong choices based on fear. He says, are not frightened or troubled. It says, for this must take place, but the end is not yet. Why? Their question was about the end in his coming. He says, it ain't yet. He says, for nation will rise against nation. We see that one. And kingdom against kingdom. This is a fight of truth and lies, of light and darkness. Y'all better hear what I'm telling you. Just like this, if we don't, with the Spirit of God, get a hold of this country, we're not going to have no country like we have known it before. And I don't know about y'all, but I love the America that I grew up in. Has she been perfect? Absolutely not. But I would not, there's not any place on this earth that I would rather live and raise my kids and my grandkids. But this is a fight between light and darkness. And the church is supposed to be the light, right, that is holding back and restraining the darkness. And he goes on here, excuse me, kingdom against kingdom, and there will be famines and earthquakes in place after place. That is happening exactly. It's not just one here, and it's all over the place. Y'all remember the Maui fires, right? Oh, yeah, y'all think that was the only ones? No, they've got wildfires all over the place that they can't seem to get under control. He goes on and he says, all this is but the beginning. The early pains. Now, any woman that's ever had a baby, like for me, my pain started at 3 to 5 minutes apart. So therefore, my stepdad at the time, he's hollering, it's a dud. To my Travis, you know. They started at 3 to 5 minutes apart, and they stayed that way for hours. He says, of the birth pangs, of the intolerable anguish, then they will hand you over to suffer affliction and tribulation and put you to death. This is happening all over the world. And if we don't get this under control, it will be here. It's already in our streets with all this Islam and all that other stuff. Now listen, I'm not talking about Islam. I'm talking about the radicals. You understand what I'm telling you? They will chop your head off and not think twice about it. They are doing service to their God. And they are right now protesting in our streets. Right now, I just seen on TV where they caught three people from Syria coming through our border. They're already here, people. You go on here, and he says, put you to death, and you will be hated by all nations for my name's sake. And then many will be offended. Oh, be careful, people. And repelled. See, if you ain't careful and you're not rooted and grounded in God and realize that He is just, even if He don't give you what you think you want or you need, don't pitch no fit. Y'all not saying nothing. Don't pitch no fit with Him. Don't get upset with Him. That is pride to blame God because you think you have met all the requirements to obtain whatever it is that He's promised. Are you serious? The Creator and Maker of all things, and we would have the audacity to think He might be wrong? You kidding me? He's never wrong. I may be convinced I met all the requirements, but if I'm not receiving what He promised, then that tells me I missed it somewhere, God. Help me, God. Show me, God. I humble myself before You. Why? The humble get the grace. The proud get resisted, or proud. The proud get resisted, right? So you don't want to be proud against God. If anybody's ever missed it, if you're not receiving what He said, you are missing it somewhere. Or could be you just ain't exercised your patience till it got here. A lot of times people, they give up right before the breakthrough. We don't want to be people like that, right? He goes on here. I had to look at my time here. He says, and then many will be offended. I told Johnny, I think it was a week or two ago. I don't know why. I was just talking out loud, I guess, looking at Johnny or something. And I said, Johnny, you know, because a lot of times people have a problem with the way I talk, what I say, or the way I say something. I don't know. Now I know when I'm being ugly or whatever, and I try not to be ugly. But anyway, to deal away with that, I told Johnny, I said, you know what I've noticed, Johnny? He said, what's that? I said, you can take two people. Just say y'all two for an example. It ain't them. Just say, since they're sitting so close together there. I can say one thing. They both hear the same word that I said. One is offended and one thinks nothing about it. Now, is it what I said or is it the person? I'm not as bad as the devil tried to tell me I was, Johnny. Now, look at this. The reason why I said this. And then many will be offended. Y'all remember in the parable, cannot get offended. Your fruit will not come if offense gets in there. I don't care who it's toward. Offended and repelled and will begin to distrust. You'll never want to start distrusting God. He's your only hope. The Bible says before we got born again, we was without God, without hope in this world. You don't want to be that way. He says, distrust and desert Him who they ought to trust and obey and will stumble and fall away. We're going to guard against all this, right? We will not allow ourselves to be offended. I don't care if they call you out your name and your mama. You hear what I said? You don't get offended. He goes on and he says, Him whom they ought to trust and obey and will stumble and fall away and betray one another. And pursue one another with hatred. And many false prophets. Listen, most of the time false prophets, they don't stand up and say, hey, I'm a false prophet. The Bible says even Satan himself comes and transforms himself as an angel of the light. This is where it comes in that we have to know truth. We have to have truth on the inside of us. We are born again of the Spirit of truth. I was listening to a minister, that was probably last week, I guess. Well-known minister, if I called his name, probably everybody in here would know him. I trust him. I've listened to him for years, agreed pretty much most with every sermon that I have heard or whatever. But last week when I was listening to him there toward the end, there was a couple of things that he said, and I don't know about that. Y'all quit looking at me like you don't know what I'm talking about. It's like, I don't know about that. And then he said something else, and I'm like, I don't think I can really agree with that. Now, I'm not looking up here. I'm looking in here. How many knows anybody can say the right words but a wrong spirit? Or they might even say wrong words but be of the right spirit. That's where it comes in. We have to be able to discern on the inside, because these people are not going to be saying we're false prophets. Just like that I told y'all, you know, that some had talked about where there was no prophets anymore, you know, we're apostles and all of that. And I had y'all turn over there to 1 Corinthians 13 last week, but I got so ahead of myself and excited, I didn't even take y'all to the verses that they used to say that apostles and prophets have been done away with. But it's over there in 1 Corinthians 13. Let's go over there. Golly, boom. I'm not going to get rid of. Finish with this Matthew 24. Don't look like today. That's all right. Let's see, comes what we got next week, right? Unless y'all ain't planning on coming, but I'll be here. Let's see, what verse was that? Now, when you look in the Bible, 1 Corinthians 12 is about the gifts of the Spirit. We've taught on that whole chapter there. 1 Corinthians 13, he says, I show you a more excellent way, and he's talking about the love of God in that one. Then you read on down here to verse 8 of chapter 13. He says, love never fails, it never fades out or becomes obsolete or comes to an end. Now, this is amplified. As for prophecy, the gift of interpreting the divine will and purpose, it will be fulfilled and pass away. Now, has there been prophecies fulfilled and passed away? Absolutely. Jesus was one of them, right? He was prophesied by Isaiah and others of what would happen. He's done come, did all his work, and he's ascended to the Father, right? So that prophecy's been done away with. But then there's other prophecies, they have not come to pass yet, so they have not been done away with. He goes on and he says, it will be fulfilled and pass away. As for tongues was over there in chapter 12, they will be destroyed and cease, right? We won't need tongues when we get to heaven. As for knowledge, it will pass away. Do y'all really think knowledge of God, when he gave the fivefold ministry, he said he gave it for the perfecting of the saints, till we all come, what? To the knowledge, right? Of the Son of God. So there's no way knowledge has been done away with. He goes on and he says, it will lose its value and be superseded by truth. But notice this, for our knowledge is fragmentary, incomplete, and imperfect. What's that mean? I don't know everything. You don't know everything, right? It says, in our prophecy, our teaching is fragmentary, incomplete, and imperfect. What's that mean? I teach, but do I know everything? Absolutely not. Do you know everything? Absolutely not. So notice what he says. It's incomplete and imperfect, but when the complete and perfect shall come. When is that going to be? When the Lord comes. The tongues will be done away with. They will not be needed anymore. Prophecy will all have been fulfilled and passed away, because it will not be needed anymore. Knowledge, then, the Bible says, we will know as we are known. Then. So therefore, there's no way that the apostles and prophets could have been done away with yet, right? So therefore, they are still needed. But they use these verses right here to teach whenever they say, but this has been done away with, or this is imperfect and all that. But you go on here, and he says, when I was a child, I talked like a child, I thought like a child, I reasoned like a child. Now that I have become a man, I am done with childish ways and put them aside. For now, we are looking in a mirror that gives only a dim, blurred reflection of reality, as in a riddle or enigma. But then, when perfection comes, we shall see in reality and face to face. Now I know in part, imperfectly. Every one of us only knows a part. But then I shall know and understand fully and clearly, even in the same manner as I have been fully and clearly known and understood by God. So there's no way. This is the verses that some people use to teach that apostles and prophets have been done away with today. And there's no way. When you read that, not in the light of your denomination or whatever, there's no way that you can say that they have been done away with. But if I was the devil, I would teach it and preach it too. Why? Because it is so needful, and because especially in the last days, God is really going to use the apostles and the prophets. Why? Because number one, apostles, they deal with foundation. They start ministries. They start different things in people's life. They deal with foundation. What's that mean? You need to get your foundation right. See, you got people out here, they want to get born again today, and then next week they want to go be the apostle and the prophet to the nations. I mean, that don't happen. Why? Bible talks about there's times you got to be tested. You got to be proven. Different things like that. So, well, number one, you got to have your foundation right. And it is the apostles that deal with the foundational things, just like the parable over there. That's a very foundational principle, and you will never get away from it as long as we're here in the earth. Why? He said, as long as the earth remains over there in Genesis, there will be seed time and harvest. He's not just talking about natural. It will be in the natural, but there will be seed time and harvest also in the spirit. Why? Because seeds have to be planted, they have to grow, and they have to bring a harvest. I've got to stop because our time is up. Does anybody have any comments or anything they'd like to say quickly before we close?